You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You're listening to BGN Radio with Brandon Lee Gowton and Jimmy Kemsky.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is BGN Radio, episode one, number 198. Who cares? I'm Jimmy Kemsky from PhillyVoice.com. With me, as always, is Brandon Lee Gowton of BleedingGreenNation.com. I have a nap to get to, so let's just get this kicked off right away. Brandon, how you doing, buddy?
Jimmy, we're just going to bang this one out. I'm sorry for all the people who hate that I say that the podcast is sponsored by Rights of Spawn Craft Jerky, but it is. Go to rightsofspawn.com, use discount code BTN15 for 15% off. Same discount code at wildnaturepet.com for 15% off dog treats. Jimmy, I have a podcast-related kind of correction or point of clarity to make here that actually came up today. Before training camp even started, on my walk to practice, I ran into Mike Quick, who's always very nice and friendly and has said before he listens to the podcast. So we appreciate you, Mike. It's a big honor from one of the best Eagles receivers, arguably the best receiver, Eagles receiver of all time. So big honor. And Mike Quick, I think before even saying hi to me, he just said, the offense does take longer to adjust in training camp. So getting back to my thing to you, Jimmy, saying like, is that something that's true? Or do we just say the offense takes more time to kind of get into a rhythm and everything? So Mike Quick broke it down for me, and he was talking about how and why that's the truth. So kudos to you, Jimmy, for Mike Quick coming to your rescue.
Thank you for vindicating me, Mike Quick. I appreciate it.
Now, I will say, I don't agree fully that that's the reason why the Eagles offense has kind of looked not as optimal as it has. I can acknowledge that that's a fair point. But anyway, also talked to Mike about Devontae Smith, and he had some good stuff in there. Hope to have him on the podcast sometime soon. Won't get into all of that here. But speaking of Devontae Smith, Jimmy, Devontae Smith, who suffered an injury in Saturday's training camp night practice, he wasn't out of practice today. He's been considered week to week with a knee sprain. What's your level of concern?
Low-ish. Okay. I think maybe, you know, when we get into like week eight of the season, maybe him, you know, maybe him missing a few weeks of training camp. It's just like, oh yeah, remember that? Remember when he missed a few weeks of training camp? Maybe that'll be the case. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. But like he's being classified as week to week, and one of the national guys went as far as to say, okay, said that he'll be out for 2 to 3 weeks. I feel like that's, first of all, we have to get a feel for how this new coaching staff directs the PR staff to sort of classify the injuries. I feel like under Doug Peterson, they would downplay injuries. Like, you know, guys are like day to day for like 6 months. You know what I mean? So like we'll kind of get a better feel for, you know, how accurate they are in their injury reporting. Well, I mean, like during the season, there are certain guidelines that they have to go by in terms of like what they consider questionable, probable, et cetera. But this time of year, you know, they're just kind of using these day-to-day, week-to-week kind of classifications. So we'll see how accurate they are with those. But they classified him as week-to-week, which normally means that, like, he needs to have his leg amputated. But in this case, I guess we'll see. I mean, we already knew that it was a knee injury, but now we have learned that it's an MCL sprain. I don't think that it's going to be something that drags into the regular season. And with a guy like Devontae Smith, we already kind of know that he's a more polished receiver coming out of college than some other receivers like Jalen Reagor, for example. So we already know he's a good route runner. We already know he's good hands. We already know he's polished in terms of his fundamentals. So maybe this injury isn't as bad for a guy like him as it would be for somebody else. But certainly, he can use all the practice time he can get during training camp in his rookie season. So obviously, it's not a good thing. But I don't think it's panic worthy citywide.
Yeah, the Eagles themselves are saying they're not really panicking. They're not too concerned. Said they expect him back sooner than later. And also, I think, feel like they can be extra cautious about his return, not needing to rush him back just because he has an advanced understanding of the wide receiver position for maybe a rookie and someone in his normal position, as you kind of touched on there. So I'm not panicking from the standpoint of I think doesn't seem to be major, especially too, just looking at how he finished practice on Saturday when he was on the sideline and he wasn't like carted off or anything. But this is the Eagles, and sometimes injuries, again, in the past have not always been accurately reflected by the timelines given. And also, Jimmy, Devontae Smith is like my number one reason, and I think a lot of people's yeah. one of their very top reasons to be excited about the team this year. Right. So, you know, him not being there, and even just for if he's – because he might conceivably miss the entire preseason now. And if he does, like, well, that's kind of a bummer because you would have liked to see at least a little bit of him in the preseason and kind of have that first glimpse of him. But it's possible we might not see that until week one now. Not a huge major concern, but, you know, again, not ideal. And also kind of just not ideal from the standpoint of the wide receiver position has already been, like, really banged up in training camp.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he had Rager missing time, although he was back in full for the first time today. Quez Watkins has missed some time. Travis Fulgham missed a day. Michael Walker got banged up today. Like, you know, they had to sign a guy just to kind of have another body here. So not great from that perspective either. Just, you know, these wide receivers like in and out of the lineup and Jalen Hurts not having like the same guys to work with every day. But I think that's all I had on Devontae. Do you have anything else on him before we talk about a former Eagles player, Jimmy?
In terms of the preseason, I guess they play the Steelers in 10 days. He's not going to be ready for that. They play the Patriots in 17 days. Doubtful, I would say, for that. And then they play the Jets in 25 days. So we're looking at 3.5 weeks. And that's sort of like the dress rehearsal game.
Yeah.
But it's a different one. So that's like the last preseason game, but it's different this year than previous years because it's the third preseason game. And there's a big gap between that game against the Jets and which is on August 27th and week one of the regular season, which is – September 12th. So you got like a 2.5 week difference there. So I think if they can get him some action in that Jets game, then maybe that's when we'll see him in the preseason if he does play. Before we get to Carson Wentz, which is what you're teasing, we'll just note very quickly more on the injury front. Jalen Rager practiced in full for the first time today, and Ryan Kerrigan left practice early as well. He was favoring his right hand as he was coming out. So a little housekeeping there. But
you and Nate Herbig got banged up too.
I didn't see that. What happened to him?
Yeah. He was on the ground for a little bit in pain, and then he kind of limped back over to where the rest of the team was standing. He didn't get, like, I don't think he went to the tent or back into the building. But it was late in practice, so we'll keep an eye on that one. And that's just
worth noteworthy. He was their starting left guard with Isaac Samuel out. So
yeah, now they're down to Suo Peta, their third string option there. So, you know, we'll keep an eye on that one.
Let's hear from you, Carson Wentz. There's news,
Carson Wentz, Jimmy. Carson Wentz apparently reportedly out 5 to 12 weeks now.
Time frame, by the way. What are they? We're 5 to 12. Have you ever heard of the 5 to 12 before? Like really 6 to 12, maybe. Like, but even that's sort of like a big like window. But 5 to 12? Come on.
I think the 5 comes from the Colts want a perception that he might be ready for week 1 because that's what 5 puts him at. Like they want that possibility for people to exist, that shred of hope when. I mean, if 12 is being considered, it's probably not going to be 5.
Right.
So I think this is – so originally when it came out on Sunday that Carson Wentz wasn't going to get surgery and was going to instead just like try to like rest this and hope it gets better, I thought that was pretty dumb and like frustrating from an Eagles perspective because it's like you're just delaying the inevitable. Like you have to get this surgery probably at some point. Now, I didn't know how long it would take. And I think it's pretty clear that the Eagles aren't getting that first round pick, barring some kind of.
Yeah, I think the surgery is worse, actually. I think it was better to the Eagles' benefit if he tried to play through it.
I didn't know how long it would take. I was thinking maybe it could be minor. Maybe it could just be like, you know, 4 weeks or something. And if that case, like, you know, just get it as soon as you possibly can. But yeah, so it sounds like the Eagles probably aren't, not officially, like greater than a 0% chance, but not a very high percent chance that they're going to get a first round pick. In the Carson Wentz trade, now because he's not going to play a lot. Although I think it's interesting to talk about Jimmy from a standpoint of like how good exactly are the Colts going to be this year? Because could it be a very high second round pick? And also, I think a lot of people are thinking about how this trade is pretty much looking like a win for the Eagles, which I kind of already felt. But a lot of people, you know, really coming around to that because it's like, hey, you know, we knew this guy had injury issues. And even if we might not get the first round pick, at least it's not a scenario where like Carson Wentz is absolutely lighting it up in Indy this year, which I never thought was realistic, but some people thought was possible. And at least they can avoid that.
Yeah, I think, like you said, the trade was the right thing to do. And I think that, you know, him getting injured on the second day of training camp only reinforces that decision. So, yeah, I think that's fine. I don't really have much to add. I mean, we covered Carson Wentz in this whole injury or in the last pod. But, yeah, certainly you look at, like, this situation, and I think from the Eagles fan perspective, you transition from sort of you know, hoping for that for that first round pick into transition into just sort of hoping for the Colts to be a complete debacle, so that second round pick that they're probably going to get becomes as high a two as possible. And I mean, we're kind of seeing their season sort of unravel at the seams, you know, so early in camp already. So, you know, we'll see if they can recover and become, you know, the team that they hope to be this year, where, I think a lot of people still thought of them as like the sort of the favorite in the AFC South. I think that's probably the Tennessee Titans now. And I don't know. We'll see how their season goes. Their schedule is kind of tough early on. Gets a little easier as the season goes on, especially at the end. But yeah, that's a team that, you know, could potentially lose a lot of games if they don't get this quarterback situation figured out.
It's so weird to me how, like, this is a bone issue he's reportedly been dealing with, like, since high school. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, like, it was loose. And it became looser, and now it's more painful, and they're just going to take it out. They're just going to take this bone out. It's weird.
It makes you kind of wonder a little bit, like, how much was this impacting him, if at all, with the Eagles? Like, it's a weird thing. And then the other thing I think about, which is, again, it's more a little cult-centric, but still of relevance to the Eagles, is, like, in terms of determining where that second round pick presumably could be, is what they do at quarterback now. Because, you know, everyone is saying, and I talked about this on the SB Nation NFL show much more at length with stats just before I recorded this podcast with you, Jimmy, here on Monday afternoon at 3:30. Like, isn't it wild that, like, maybe they trade for Nick Foles? And I think that already kind of means they're admitting.
Bears reporters were asking him about that today.
I saw that. And I think it makes too much sense not to do, really, kind of, you're the Colts, like, because the Bears want to get rid of him. Like,
yeah.
You clear $4 million in cap space. Yeah, by getting like he has a $6.7 million cap hit as a third string quarterback. Like, they're gonna want to get rid of him, and the Colts, you know, throw them a seventh or a sixth or whatever, and there you go. But again, I don't think Wentz is very happy if Nick Foles is back.
Oh my god,
locker room.
Dude, that is like a Philadelphia story that just gets dumped on like a Midwestern city that Philadelphians can just kind of enjoy to watch from afar. I mean, that'd be amazing drama. Like, if they traded for Nick Foles.
But it impacts the Eagles still, because like yeah. Let's say Foles plays really well, or he doesn't, whatever, and that could determine how good or bad that pick is, could determine potentially who the next Eagles quarterback is with what the draft picks they get. So it's all intertwined here, and part of what, I guess, you know, kind of makes the NFL fun is all these little different webs of action and everything. But yeah, that's all I had there. Just obviously have to note that, because it impacts the Eagles potentially in a big way. Why don't we take a break here, Jimmy?
Okay.
Then we'll get into our training camp observations. So I'm going to tell you quickly, really first, about Righteous Felon Craft Jerky, which you can get at righteousfelon.com using discount code BGN15, the best snacks you'll have in your life. And Jimmy, why don't you tell me about someone special in your life?
Well, Kristen Roach is a phenomenal realtor. Kristen Roach of Roach Realtors, that is. I won't get too deep into that, but her phone number is 856-906-9295. If you are looking to buy or sell a home, contact her. She's pretty good. Thank you. Back after this.
Back here on BGN Radio's episode 198. It doesn't matter, although we're two episodes away from 200, so that's fun. Jimmy, it's time for our Eagles training camp observations. Why don't you get to yours first?
I thought Jalen Hurts had his best day of camp so far. Just generally speaking, I thought this was his most accurate day The first throw of camp, of practice today, rather, was a really nice throw to the sideline to Travis Fulgham. It was a high-ish kind of, he placed it high and to the outside, allowed Fulgham to sort of shield Steve Nelson.
Stevie. I think we should call him Stevie, although he doesn't approve of that. Sorry. So never mind.
To Steve, now he was able to shield Steve Nelson away from the ball, made the catch on the sideline, and then, you know, followed that up with a nice pass to Ertz. I wasn't locked in on 7-on-7s. It's either watch 7-on-7s or watch 1-on-1s or kind of stay in the middle and try to get a taste of both of them, because there's a camp battle between Jordan Mailata and Andre Dillard. I've been dedicating myself to the O-line, D-line 1-on-1, so I haven't really checked in heavily on the 7-on-7s. My understanding is he had nice deep throws to Quez Watkins and Jalen Reagor. Can you confirm that, Brandon?
I think some people mistook Reagor for Watkins.
Got it.
I did not see one to Reagor because they have a similar looking jersey, because the Eagles jersey font, like the 6 and 8, look a lot alike.
Okay. All right. Because so, I saw that on Twitter and I was wondering. Okay.
So it was Watkins. I made sure to watch specifically. Yeah.
Got it. All right. So, but anyway, apparently seemed to be good in the 7-on-7 sessions. And then you and I were, we had sort of a really good view of a red zone drill, where he fired one in. Like, I thought he had good velocity on a window throw to Travis Fulgham. It was off target slightly. It was a little behind Fulgham. I thought that Fulgham still could have made that catch. Didn't. It wound up being an incomplete pass. But overall, I don't want to make too much of the day that he had, because it was fine. It wasn't great. But I do think it was his best day at camp so far, particularly accuracy and accuracy-wise. And consistency wise, I thought, you know, from start to finish, it was a good, not great, but a good day for Jalen Hurts.
So I think that's interesting you say that, Jimmy, because I was wondering if I was crazy, because in my mind, I saw you tweet that after practice, and that kind of seemed right to me based on just the feeling of what I had from today's camp. But then I looked back at like my actual notes of what I wrote down, and I kind of had like equal good and bad. So I'm like, was this really a good day for him? In my, just based on the notes that I had, I mean, you mentioned some of the good stuff. I think he also had a nice pass to Zach Ertz in stride for a 20-yard gain in that first 11-on-11 session. But then I had him down for, you know, being a little bit behind Travis Fulgham on that throw.
Right.
I had him overthrowing a short pass when he had pressure in his face from Derek Barnett, like blowing up Andre Dillard, which, you know, not the perfect situation, but still was a missed throw. And then he did overthrow Jalen Reagor deep down the field along the left sideline. Kind of remind me of a Carson Wentz throw. That's 7-on-7s too. That was 11-on-11, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Kind of just still more up and down to me. I think there was more good than bad, but, like, to me, it wasn't, like, an amazing day or anything, and I still think, overall, he's kind of having an up and down kind of camp. Getting on to my big observation of the day, Jimmy, I think it's one we've already said a lot, and it's that I just don't understand how Jordan Mailata cannot be the starting left tackle for the team. It was another down day for Andre Dillard, who got beat, as I just said, by Derek Barnett in 11-on-11. He got beat by Josh Sweat again in 1-on-1, which actually prompted like Jeff Stoutland to kind of like give him some feedback there. And then you actually saw this better, I think, than I did, but he got beat by Brandon Graham at 1.2. What exactly happened on that one?
It looked like he had good position. Like he had a good he had a good kick at the snap, and like he was in great position to block Brandon Graham, and Brandon Graham just still went right through him. Brandon Graham he did like a sort of a push pull move and sort of threw Dillard out of the way. Dillard had to hold him. Dillard, by the way, has not only been getting beat repeatedly every day, but he's just holding guys left and right. Like he's just, it's almost metaphorically, he's like, he's just holding on for dear life. It's been hard to watch, frankly. Like he has not been good. And I don't think there's any question whatsoever that Jordan Mailata is not only going to be the starting left tackle for this team, but he is substantially better. He's just a better football player than Andre Dillard, and it's not even close. And I imagine that they're going to keep this competition, quote unquote, alive for a little while longer. I mean, they haven't even been in pads yet, so,
or a preseason game, yeah.
So I mean, we're going to see Dillard probably get first team reps in the preseason games, and obviously when they're in pads and all that. But it's over in my mind. Like in my mind, like this job is already clearly going to be Jordan Mailata's.
Do you think they keep Dillard on the roster?
I think if you can trade him and you get something for him, then you do that. But
what's something?
I don't think they'd cut him. So,
anything?
So would I trade him for like a six? Yeah. Bye. Would they? Probably not. I think they want to hold out for something better than that. Seeing as he's a first round pick and they traded to get him, and it was not that long ago that they did that. And they are very stubborn about players that they drafted and have on their roster and have groomed or whatever. And they overrate their own players. So, yeah, I don't think they're taking like a pick as low as that. I would, because I don't think he's very salvageable. So just do it already. But it's a disappointing situation with Andre Dillard. And you can look at that one of two ways. Like, you can look at it like, okay, he's a bust and, you know, screw you, Howie, for messing up that pick. But by the same token, like, Jordan Mailata is a legit, like, great find, in the seventh round. And, credit to them for sort of finding that diamond in the rough. But yeah, it's Mailata is just a much better football player. And it's just as simple as that for me.
I do think it'll be interesting to kind of see how the bar gets raised for Jordan Mailata at some point, because right now, you know, the goal is beating Andre Dillard, which I think he already has done. But the goal has also been to turn him into an NFL caliber player. But now, once he secures that job, it's going to be, is he an actually really good left tackle, or is he kind of just like a serviceable one or whatever? So that'll be the
and he's in his contract year, so you got to figure out if you're going to sign him to a long term deal or not.
Exactly. Yeah. Like,
okay. Nothing's ever easy.
He's better than Dillard, but like, is he a guy worth paying like elite left tackle money to? Like, right. That's kind of the next thing. I just don't think they can in terms of like sensical. And that doesn't mean the Eagles won't do it because it's nonsensical, because we know they do nonsensical things. But I mean, Andre Dillard has the 11th highest cap number on the team this year.
Does he? Okay.
Yep. At 3.4 million. Yeah. I believe.
All right. It's not huge then, obviously.
Yeah. But you could clear 1.6 by trading him. So I just, you know, yeah, if that sixth round pick is there, I think you just have to take the L on the trade and get anything. Again, I'm always of the mind, Jimmy, where I hate when people talk about like, you can't take pennies on the dollar. Why not? Taking pennies on the dollar is a lot better than getting zero. Because you can get a seventh round pick, a sixth round pick, and then it might turn out to be Jordan Mailata in theory.
Right.
You're getting literally nothing, and you're just waiting until you have to cut him down the line. That doesn't get you anything.
I don't think that phrase applies though, because it's not pennies on the dollar. It's pennies on the pennies. Because like, he's not worth anything to me. Like, he's not, like, if he's not worth a roster spot, even then, you know, and you can get something for him, because again, like, he's not going to play another position. Like, he, for me, it's like left tackle or bust. We already know what he looks like at right tackle. He can't play guard because he can't anchor against power. And I wouldn't trust him to lead anyone at center. So it's either he's the left tackle or he's not going to play. And it's really as simple. So basically he's counting on, like, if in fact Jordan Mailata does win this left tackle job, as we both, I'm sure, assume he will, he's counting on, well, not counting on, but the only way he's getting in the game is if Jordan Mailata gets hurt.
I mean, pennies on the dollar from the initial investment.
Okay. Know, like, all right. Yeah. I gotcha. Yeah.
Any other, what's your next one, Jimmy?
I would say, Tyree Jackson. Yeah. Is the early candidate for the Nay Brown Award. he had an impressive play today where it looked like some sort of crosser over the middle. Joe Flacco actually had a nice ball to him. It was high where he could go get it. But he hit him right in stride. And impressively, Tyree Jackson just didn't break stride, caught it, and then bang, as soon as he caught it, right up the field. And you know, this guy is 6'7", 249. Transition from quarterback to tight end. And, you know, I think he's got a ways to go in terms of route running and learning the tight end position. And he's maybe a year away from, you know, contributing in any meaningful way in an actual real game. But if he keeps making plays like that, it's going to be a really easy decision for the team to keep him when they make cuts, when they cut down to 53. And sort of keep him around as a developmental guy and keep him on the roster because you don't want somebody else to snag him on waivers. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he's able to do in the preseason games. But I think there are two tight ends that I was looking at heading into camp. that have like, you know, that have like intriguing size, speed, you know, sort of background.
You're telling people the tapping. You
know, oh, sorry.
People's eardrums out.
Between like Tyree Jackson and Hakeem Butler. Like those are the two guys that I was looking at as like intriguing young developmental tight ends. And Tyree Jackson's done some really nice things early on. I haven't seen anything from Hakeem Butler so far. But so Tyree Jackson would be sort of the guy for me that that has actually shown something so far.
Yeah, you asked me today at practice if I had seen anything from Hakeem Butler. Mm-hmm. And I have not, other than him saying so he was kind of like mocking Dallas Goedert in a press conference when he walked by the other day. He was like, "That's about South Dakota or something." That's the only time I've noticed.
So not even a good joke then.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, it's like, okay, that was weird. So I agree with you on Tyree Jackson. I will say, like, I feel like I was wrong about him because I thought like he was going to come into camp and kind of be like too raw as a quarterback, college quarterback transitioning to tight end. And then even some of the things that I think I had heard, from spring drills. So the fact that like he looks this good, this quick kind of makes me think the Eagles are almost going to have to keep him around. I think they're risk if he continues at this pace, and we'll see if he does. And again, how he does in the preseason games. I guess one of the most impressive things about him to me, Jimmy, is how physical he is. Like a guy who played college quarterback and, you know, he ran, he's mobile. So it's not like he's totally, it's not like totally new to contact, but still like to play like tight end from quarterback, it's just, to see that level of physicality from him, it's encouraging.
First day of practice that he ran over?
Yeah, Rashad Smith.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't even look like he was trying to run him over. He just caught a pass and he turned up field, and 53 happened to be there, and boom, poor 53 was on his ass. Mm-hmm. So he has like run. He's a load. I mean, like I said, he's 6'7", 249, 245, or 249, 250, we'll call it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, did you ever watch his Buffalo quarterback highlights?
Some of them.
They're fun. Mm-hmm. It's worth a watch if you're listening to the podcast. Just Google Tyree Jackson Buffalo. And anyway.
I think he should be the third tight end because I think the Eagles should keep Dallas Goedert, obviously. Mm-hmm. And they should keep Dick Rod. I would keep him as the number two, and then I would have Tyree as my number three. I would trade Zach Ertz.
My next thing,
my notes weren't really, not a lot of juice today. I feel like maybe I don't know if you feel the same way, Jimmy, but
I did read your notes quickly
after
I published mine, and we pretty much had all the same stuff.
Yeah, so it wasn't like the juiciest day. I thought Joe Flacco had his best day.
Yes.
Made that throw that you talked about to Tyree. He actually hit Tyree earlier where he made this nice throw, like where he stepped up in the pocket and fired a pass kind of on the move a little bit right, about like 25 yards down the field. I thought that was nice to see. And by contrast, Nick Mullins did not have a good day today.
One of the worst throws of camp, by the way, so far by Nick Mullins.
He was picked off by Zach McPherson, basically kind of just like a punt with that. Zach McPherson kind of just waiting there. Was able to, you know, face the quarterback, made an easy catch for the pick there. So not Nick Mullins' best day. Another thing that, like a low-key thing, I guess, that I want to mention, and not the the Marvel character here, although that was a very good series, if you like superhero movies, Jimmy, which I don't take you for a Marvel guy. Not, you don't watch the Marvel movies. Yeah,
I'm not a big superhero guy.
Okay, yeah. Who's your favorite superhero? Do you have one at all?
I don't think I do.
Wow. Do you have a favorite supervillain?
I don't.
No, okay.
I was not a big comic book or superhero guy. Sorry.
That's fair.
Not my world.
Yeah, Jimmy thinks he's better than everyone who, he thinks he looks down on these nerds.
I promise you I do not. I have plenty of my own nerdy things that I like.
One of the low key issues that I've seen in training camp, and we kind of saw it last year as he saw less playing time over the season. Well, too many drops here from Mr. Travis Fulgham. You kind of talked about earlier, he had that catchable. It was behind him, but he still could have caught it from Jalen Hurts in the end zone. He also had another one that was like kind of down the field, and it happened quick, and I think it might have been 7-on-7, and I didn't get like the best view on it. But it looked like it was catchable too. It's kind of like either like underthrown or some kind of back shoulder throw from Hurts, and Fulgham gets like, it's weird because like he gets his hands on a lot of these. It's not like he's totally mistiming it where it's going through his hands completely. Mm-hmm. Like, he's actually touching the football, but for whatever reason, like his hands aren't like connecting in the right way where he's like securing it. Like he's like kind of catching it, like, but it's like not finishing. So kind of an issue. I don't think he's been bad by any means in camp. Like I think he's done some nice things. Like you mentioned the first throw of the day, it was a nice catch,
right,
from Jalen Hurts. But like there has been some bad too. So I kind of wish, I guess, he'd be kind of crushing it in camp a little bit more than he is.
I thought Quez Watkins had a couple good days. He missed the first three practices. He made, as we mentioned on the last pod, he had a really nice contested catch over Michael Jaquette. Was that 1-on-1s or 7-on-7s? I don't remember. 7-on-7s?
1-on-1s. 1-on-1s. Okay. 1-on-1s. That was on Saturday.
And then today you mentioned, well, I brought up, you know, the what I missed, the deep ball to him in 7-on-7s. But then he also, later in practice, in 11-on-11s in the red zone, he caught a short pass and really showed some wiggle on his run after the catch. And we saw that last year against the Arizona Cardinals where he took a short pass and he, like, a nice spin move to the outside and with speed ran to the end zone. So he has that ability in him. And, I think he's done more in the two practices that he's participated in and than John Hightower has, for example. I think those two guys are sort of I think they're competing against themselves. Well, Jalen Rager is going to be on the team, but I think like Quez Watkins and John Hightower are sort of competing for like that fifth or sixth wide receiver spot or whatever you want to call it. And Quez has shown more in two practices than John Hightower has in five. We should mention John Hightower too, by the way. Like he crushed it in camp last year. Yep. And in my opinion, like, he had to crush it again in this camp to make the team because we already saw him have a good camp and then do nothing during the regular season. So if he kind of falls off in camp, then he's at risk to just not be on the team anymore. And I don't think he's done much so far to earn a job.
I feel like I've seen Hightower get scolded a lot in camp. Yes. Like coaches have been on him a lot. So take that for what you will. Jimmy, let's get to our MVP, LVP play of the day. I'll start us off. I'm going to go with Quez Watkins for my MVP. Thought that was a really nice catch by him. He burned Steve Nelson. And by the way, Steve Nelson has been burned a couple of times here on some of these big plays. Not to say he's a bad player. He's had some good reps too, but like, you know, again, not a star player. Like very much a gettable player. So I'm going to go with Quez for my MVP. What about you?
I'm going to go Jordan Mailata. Because, you know, we in this left tackle battle, I think we've, you know, we've been hard on Andre Dillard and maybe haven't praised Jordan Mailata enough for what he's done. In his reps on one-on-ones, like he's shutting down guys like Josh Sweat and Brandon Graham. And I haven't seen him getting beat badly in any, like really obviously in any way in 11-on-11s. And, you know, you just look at sort of his year by year progression in the NFL where, you know, he wasn't great in camp as he looked like a guy that had never played football before in his first, you know, season as a rookie. And then sort of, surprisingly, they played really well in the preseason that year, year two, again, kind of the same thing, like not great in camp, but again, a decent preseason. Year three, I thought he kind of stalled in camp. And it wasn't even really great in preseason games, or well, they didn't have preseason games. But like when the season began, I was wondering if he was like I thought he might be at risk not to make the final 53. I think I had him on, but he obviously made it. And then he showed during the regular season that he belongs in the NFL. But this year, I think it's like he's way, way better than he ever has been in any other camp. Like this is by far his best camp, and like he came, like he talked for a while today in the interview session. You're gonna see a lot of Jordan Mailata articles pop up, by the way, either today or tomorrow, because he did talk to the media and he was interesting in what he said. But you know, he really toned up his body and he's in, I hate to say, the best shape of his career, but certainly he looks more athletic than he ever has. He's always had the power and the size, so I think there's a good chance that he takes his game to the next level this season after sort of growing as the season went along last year. And again, this is more of like a full, like, through the first 5 days kind of tip of the cap to Jordan Mailata, but I'll give him today's MVP.
I think that's smart. I'm looking back through the ones we've had so far, and I don't have him listed yet, so that's probably not right by me, and I've erred somewhere. But I'll give it to him at some point in the future. Jimmy, who's your LVP?
I'll go Dillard. he's already made my list once. I think it was day two, but he was bad again today. We already mentioned his losses in one-on-ones and getting beat by Derek Barnett Bradley in 11-on-11s, but he's just been a major disappointment, and it was just another really bad day for him today.
One more thing on the Quez Watkins screen reception for a touchdown that you mm-hmm. mentioned. I thought it was nice wiggle by Watkins, but also he didn't get touched. Like, that thing was blocked perfectly.
Right.
And to see the Eagles run a screen like fluidly and without a hitch, I know it's just practice, but like that's kind of nice because they couldn't do that at all to save their lives last year. So that's a nice little sign. Also, I think I mentioned this on the pod yesterday or whenever, 2 days ago. But like, I feel like the offensive line has done a good job here of like springing holes for the running backs.
Yes.
I feel like we continue to see these lanes. And I don't know, maybe that's a concern that the defense isn't as stout against the run or whatever. Right. But I'm going to take that as a positive for the offense right now. And again, it's easy for running backs to kind of look good when
they're not in pads. Yeah.
And they're not in pads. But I feel like, and we'll see how that goes with the pads coming on Tuesday, but I feel like they're like getting out without being even touched at times. Like they're mm-hmm. not even getting touched before they're getting like 5 yards or out to the second level or whatever. So that's a quick aside. My LVP is Carson Wentz.
Okay.
I think pretty self-explanatory. Is it his fault he got hurt? No. But is he ultimately screwing over the Eagles? Yes.
Yeah.
So maybe not by choice, but it's happening. So I have to give it to Carson Wentz. Sorry, Carson. Not really. What is your play of the day, Jimmy?
Flacco to Tyree Jackson, as wow, previously mentioned. What a highlight of the day.
And then for me, it's Quez, obviously. Okay. Which is second practice in a row where Quez has
which made one? The deep ball to him in 7-on-7s or yeah, the screen deep, touchdown?
The deep bomb.
Because he had two.
Bomb, 7-on-7.
It's good if you have two contending plays for the day.
That's why I made him my MVP.
There you go.
Flacco to Tyree Jackson. Let me write that down. All right. This has been Eagles training recap number 5. It's the 5th practice of training camp. The pads go on, Jimmy, tomorrow, Tuesday, August 3rd. So we'll see who shines and who withers as the practices get more physical. Real football guy, concussion uncle kind of stuff here.
That's right. This is where you start to see guys separate from the pack. Yeah.
you just love how it feels when you can hit again.
That's right. And then when they have joint practices, it's gonna feel good to hit somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. That's always good. Every year. Any final thoughts, Jimmy, before we wrap?
I'm looking forward to taking a nap and getting refreshed for the first day of pads tomorrow.
Okay, so Jimmy's looking forward to his nap. I'm looking forward to trivia tonight, doing some trivia, so that'll be fun. Won a couple weeks ago. It's been
at like a bar?
Month or so. Yeah, won like a month
ago.
Are
you hosting it, or you're just playing?
No. Okay. Participating, weekly group. Have had some top finishes, but haven't gotten that win since like a few weeks ago now, maybe even a month ago. So looking for that win. We'll see.
Do you think you can take on Brad Rutter?
Of course not, no. I'm kind of like the sports person on this team. Like, okay. You know, that's my little niche there. So,
all right.
Shout out to the New Wave Cafe in Queen Village. All right, Jimmy, that has been it for this episode of BGN Radio. Follow me on Twitter at Brandon Gowden. Follow Jimmy Kempsky on Twitter at Jimmy Kempsky. Check out the SB Nation NFL show by going and searching it, rate, reviewing, subscribing that in addition to this show. And I think those are all the plugs you need, except for Right to Spell and Craft Turkey, by going to righttosfelon.com using discount code BGN15 for 15% off. And we will talk to you all next time.
Goodbye, everybody.
BGN.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder. But you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.
From data privacy to the future of TV, retail media, and beyond, the world of digital marketing is constantly in flux. So how can you keep up? Well, the Current Report is there for you, Each week, marketing leaders on the cutting edge give you the latest insight. So if it's creating a buzz, they'll be talking about it. Subscribe to The Current Report wherever you get your podcasts.